The artists, some of the artists have not registered their works properly. And notice I'm saying properly. So that the writer, the arranger, backup singers, they need to catalog and write their music properly. One. Two, their radio stations, they don't pay cost gap. And that must cut in to what they pay. And then, of course, you have the third part, which is the disparity between how much local music is played as opposed to how much foreign music is played.
All right, now,
that's the three things I know that Erica faces. Although she don't seem to like to engage me a lot, but I back her up in what she's doing. Let me
say I'm coming to the point that in this day and age, technology, you were talking of, I can go back to tell you our time of the first Barbadian who studied hotel management. And you were there with him, to a fellow called Stan Maynard, who worked with you.
Real bad boy.
Stanmore lost his job, and you got punished because you were involved
with the local artists, sir. Yes,
recruiting
sir.
Local artists.
Yes, sir. I got licks for that. You know that.
you got squeezed.
Oh, that's why it is? Okay.
Stanmore lost his job, right? Because of that. I'm saying that to say this. Within the hotel industry today, the Minister of Tourism and all of us are saying, I think when the tourists come to this country, they want to see what they would consider to be authentic entertainment. Entertainment that they can appreciate. They don't want to leave England and come and the United States and come here and hear the Bee Gees and hear this body and the next person. So you have a situation within the hotel industry. That hotels are now employing what is known as technology to present the entertainment to the tourists inside of diverse hotels, singing by telephone and that type of concept. So the local entertainers are disadvantaged because they are not in a position to present the type of entertainment within the hotel market, because they are given the belief by the directors of tourism in this country that the people come down here. You're talking about community tourism. You're talking about ecotourism. But you're placing within the hotel industry entertainment that the people already leave their respective countries being fed up with and come to hear something different. So this is a disadvantage. This is a disadvantage.
Yeah. I agree with you totally. Let me say this as well, then, sir. Unfortunately, and it is unfortunate, I don't think there are a lot of people who understand what R&R means. They think that people come to Barbados to relax, yes, but they forget the recreation part of it. And people recreate themselves in different ways. And one of the ways people recreate themselves when they come to the Caribbean is to fet, to lego, to free up themselves, to dance and under the stars and all them kind of things. And we don't seem to appreciate that that's what they come to the Caribbean for. They could go to the Mediterranean and sit in an air-conditioned room and listen to canned music. If they come to Barbados, especially people who've never seen the sand and clear water sea before, they want to dance under the stars in the sand with a steel band playing and go back home and say, oh, I danced with my wife under the stars and steel band playing and sanding with toes and all them kind of things they just listen to when it's 20 below and they sit down, you know, in some place. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I am challenging the Minister of Tourism this morning. Mm-hmm. I am challenging the Minister of Culture this morning because he said yesterday that this Silver Hill, they'll be putting a recording studio up there. Now, Mr. Johnson, I want to walk you along with me hand in hand. In Trinidad, during the days of Calypso music, all of the Calypsonians' music, most of them were re-recorded, Dutchie Brothers, various bands in Trinidad, recorded the calypsos of the day.
In instrumental, yes.
In instrumental, which means that those calypsos travel across the world, whether it's England, whether it's Australia, because people understood the music more than the lyrical content. Now, I am staying here in Barbados for the last umpteen years. We have got one of the best bands that could back calypsoans in Barbados. We have produced some of the best calypsoans that is anywhere in the Caribbean. And not one instrumental LP.
But, sir, that may be more because of getting permission, as I said, going back to what I was talking about, the correct cataloging of music. Because if I know, for example, that the Red Plastic Bags, Volcano, or any of his songs, if I know that the rights to the song are owned by the bag, Then I could go to the bag and say, can I do Volcano in salsa for a recording? But if I do not know who owns the music and I decide to do it, and then I get a call from Nicholas or somebody who say, hey, that's my song. You can't do that. You need to come to me. Then we have a problem. We have issues, sir, sometimes where people, a member of the band would say, I don't want you to do my recording. I don't want you to use my bass line or my drum line or whatever it is. We have to make sure that we understand the steps taken to get the music done. But I agree with you that we need to have our music recorded. Yes, sir, you can.
Can I come back, Mr. Johnson?
Yeah.
Each time NCF produces the festival,
they have a right up to a certain point. Yes.
Hold on. They are placed as the executive producers.
Yes, sir. But those things come with limitations.
I'm coming home to this. If it can be done elsewhere, I am saying let's give Coscap a pat on the shoulder of wanting to do something, but the people who should be accommodating Coscap and accommodating the entertainers of Barbados are not accommodating. That is, I'm saying that I do not believe that NCF has a database of entertainment across the country. I said I may be wrong.
I don't know either. So yeah, I can't tell you that because I don't know either. But right. I follow you.
I personally believe we have reached a stage in our period of time that former Prime Minister Simon Arthur, when he went to Geneva, he signed the International Coscap Copyright Act, which gives the Barbados entertainers the right to perform any part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, there was a statement from some person making a presentation and willing to accommodate Barbados artists across Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying that we are being misled. We are being fooled by the system who is doing nothing for entertainment in Barbados, at least to take entertainment up beyond the thresholds of Barbados.
So let me just tell you these two things, right, before you jump in. There are two things. One, YouTube has changed that, and technology has changed how you can reach across the world, provided your music is properly protected every step of the way. There are studios now where I could be sitting here at River Road, you could be in a cruise ship somewhere, Graham, who is a bass player of some note, could be in Hawaii on his vacation or his honeymoon,
and
get mixed in another studio somewhere in the United States. Okay, and it can be top quality and on the air by 8 o'clock tonight. Okay, but here's the thing, sir, and this is where I'm going to agree with you. Here's the thing. What we have to understand is what our rights are, what are secondary rights, what are original, and how far we can extend our rights so that we can still get value from it. And the second part, and what you said is vitally important, everybody along the chain has to understand where they stand in this. Sir, there are artists in Barbados who are their own worst enemies. Right?
You need to have those artists.
That yes, because I can tell you, right. I remember one day playing a Hot Gossip song on the radio, and I got a call from one of the best keyboardists in the world who said to me, where you get that from, Dennis? I say, I have a copy of the record signed by all the members of Hot Gossip. He tell me, but I ain't have one. I say, I know that, but you ain't getting mine neither. I will laugh. I had Ken Jones of the Troubadours call me and tell me, you play a Troubadour song the other day, we won't redo it, but I ain't have it. Where you get that from?
I have the CD
in front of me with it. You want it? So there are artists in Barbados who don't have their own work, sir.
That's why I chose you this morning to talk this matter. Let me explain what I'm saying, right? You mentioned YouTube. On a scale of 1 to 10, 11 have gone over the 10 of local recordings by right of years gone by are exposed on YouTube. This is international exposure. And in return for returns to this country. I am saying that this is where you need to have not a private individual functioning on behalf of the entertainers of a country, but you need to have the body, Since I've given you the Geneva signature of the former prime minister, since I've given you the Barbados connection at an international level as far as entertainment is concerned, I am saying that the music that we see on YouTube, the government of Barbados, this government has been asked, and the lady minister said I did not put it to him, this government has been asked to try to purchase back the portfolio of the music that was recorded that is now exposed on YouTube. And if they had set about to purchase back the music that is now exposed on YouTube, some of the artists would be beneficiaries of what is happening on YouTube today. But here it is, you have a whole set of artists, you have a whole set of music, you have a situation where you boast of the best tourism in the world. You boast of this and you boast of that. But in terms of the returns, listen, no, I remember you, you know. I can tell you how I remember you. I remember you, you're there with me, sir?
Yes, I'm always with you, I ain't going anywhere. Right.
I remember you walking through paradise with an understanding of control of your work. And most of the artists of the day music, they never call you Dennis, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson. And the position is that I knew some of the artists that came to you that decided to undercharge the other artists.
Yeah, I know that.
And Dennis Johnson said, we don't pay that type of money here. We have a set fee, and we have to... Mr. Johnson, am I wrong or right?
So you're not incorrect, sir. I have done that. I have done that, sir.
I go about.
Have a good one, sir. So look, let me say to you, I support the call for registration of all music, especially the music that was done in the 1970s, pressed by World, and that swamped the Caribbean just the same way reggae did. I don't know what it will cost today, and I don't know if it's even up for sale, or you know, if it's just lost completely. But the catalog of music produced in Barbados during the World years, the 1970s, that spanned the Caribbean and sold from Guyana in the south right all the way up to Antigua and the Bahamas. And by the way, it's still on sale in various islands that cruise ships go to. If you go there, you could find more Bajan music than you would find in the stores in Barbados. Getting that into the catalog would help the artists if they knew their rights and if they would support a move to get it back. But as I said, some of our artists are their own worst enemies. Some of them have died and gone long. Lord Radio. The work Lord Radio has done in the hospitality industry, I know he's been rewarded and awarded for it, but I mean, that can't be measured. Or Richard, you know, or the Country Theatre Workshop, or Sing Out Barbados, any of them. Yeah, but, well, this is Down to Brass Tacks. 4341790 Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hi, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
This is Brother Nasser, how are you?
Sir, I am fine. I have something to say to you before you say anything to me, right?
Yes, sir.
And it's this. I want to know where you find your books. That book got me riveted. Where you find your books, man? That book got me caught. I have not delved so deeply and so quickly into a book since I read Khrushchev Remembers, the memoirs of Nikita Khrushchev. Which was given to me many years ago by the teachers at St. Anthony's, because it caught my attention, because it was the first time I was able to read the Cuban Missile Crisis through the eyes of somebody else, as opposed to the Western. And that book you left here for me, sir, on the dictators, riveting reading, sir. It's interesting. I know where you get your books from, but I'm glad that you do. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Mr. Johnson,
now we could go ahead. That's personal, and now we could go ahead. Yes, sir.
I'm not saying this to praise me. I am not no average individual.
I have come to the world
for knowledge.
I have come, no. But I don't understand how you find it when other people can't.
Because I am searching for it. See, the reason why I speak to you and like to talk to you.
That makes sense.
It's because I understand clearly that you will correct me if you discover I'm making mistakes. That is what important to me. Not somebody who's going to put it on your phone and say he's an idiot. I don't have to talk to that person. I have to talk to someone who's going to say, well, NASA, I don't agree with what you do. I don't agree with what you're saying. I can live with that because I go home and correct myself, right? Now, on my bed, there are about 20 books, Mr. Johnson. No, I can't read all 20 books one time, but you know what I do?
You
I
take pieces of them?
I go and peep in this
peep
book.
On, yeah. Peep in. Find a you, piece you and me? Find a piece. Yeah, I follow you. I follow
when
you.
When I saw that book, I said, election in the air, Mr. Johnson, a very highly knowledgeable man. I'm not going to wait to read this book to learn him. If he has it, the knowledge will be in his head, and he'll be able to use it as long as he wants, because I got enough other books to read. So I can see that book and don't buy it. You follow me?
I no. follow you, sir. I follow
I want
you.
To say something before getting what I want to say. I just listened to you and Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a man who had a lot of resources, top quality resources, million-dollar horses in America. And one day, a fellow went to arrest and rent a horse, buy a horse. And this, you know, you can buy a horse cheap sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could go and get them in auctions and things for next to nothing.
Right. But in the race, they're going to arrest.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Have your horse when you're going to sell it.
Sell
or something.
It, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he bought this horse for $50,000. And he took it to the... This is what I told you about, but since I hear Mark just now, I want to say something for the entertainers. Mm-hmm. He took it to this big horse trainer, this big horse stable. So the guy took the horse in, and he started to pay more attention to that horse than these multi-million dollar horses.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of these multi-million dollar horses went to him and got vexed and telling this little hungry horse here, you paying us attention, and we got these expensive horses you're not paying attention to. You know what we tell them? This horse will win the Triple Crown. If you want to move yours, move,
move
yours.
It.
And the horses won, the horse won the Triple Crown. Now, that is not no story as a fact.
Yeah.
But let me explain why he said that. The reason why entertainers and barbers have a serious problem is this. They must understand that they must find a manager to manage their affairs. If the manager had them to make $100 million and he get 50, so what? That song called Who Let the Dogs Out?
Who Let the Dogs Out?
If that was written and in Barbados, it would not have made a sense.
I follow you. I follow you, sir. Yeah.
I advise my entertainers, don't care how much foolishness you do, right? Get a manager because one day, you're gonna write. You will write a powerhouse for a song, and make you a millionaire. Is that right? Advice, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, it makes sense, sir.
Okay,
it makes sense, sir. They are producers, and I'll single out Nicholas Branca's being one of them.
Right.
Nicholas took put your hand on the bumper and made it a Bajan hit.
Yeah.
I think if Put Your Hand on the Bumper had gone to anybody who did not understand music and how to craft music, Put Your Hand on the Bumper wouldn't get nowhere.
Right.
Eddie Grant has taken his own songs and retooled them and remodeled them and made them. If you listen to the original recording, Electric Avenue, as opposed to the new one, Hello Africa, he changed with the times. He crafted his music for a market. And the other thing is Eddie was a perfectionist. But that's the other thing. That's the other thing. When you have a piece of music and you treasure it enough to go to somebody who knows what they're doing, surrender to them. Don't tell them that's how I want it, because they know what it is they could do with what you've brought. Let their genius flow. And sometimes we don't understand that.
Two different trainers, Mr. Johnson.
Absolutely, sir. That's why I like the analogy you use. It makes sense, sir.
You know that, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, I have often said to people,
right? Is not the same thing, right?
But sir.
So you go and manufacture everything you want to manufacture, but if you don't find people who have the knowledge of marketing, it will just be that, a manufactured product. Is that not true?
That is true, sir. And let me tell you this. If you, and I've said this to somebody already, I could say it to you too because I don't mind. You would understand why I said this. I said to somebody once, if you go around to cemeteries across the Caribbean, old cemeteries, and if you go to the parliament buildings, churches, you would see cast iron fences with these arrows and plumes and things at the top.
Beautiful, huh?
Of course, sir. But you know what? We have wrought iron pieces that have intricate designs the same way, but we don't value them the same way.
No, we don't.
Because one made out of a different type of material.
That's right.
And it's because of who crafted it and the material it made out of that we turn up our noses at it.
Mr. Johnson, we need Mark. All these business. Send this to the business in Barbados now. The manufacturers and the young entrepreneurs and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Find people to market your product for you.
Yep.
Stop playing the fool thing that you are a market. You are not a market expert. We use Joey Harper to expand manufacturing in this country at a level that no other man has ever done. He went through the entire Caribbean, through South America, wherever, and promote and market our products, and we just sell them like crazy, not mine alone, until we foolishly destroy the manufacturing. But then what I call you talk about, you know, Mr. John, it's just that I want our young people to understand that when you sing in a song, don't care how foolish it might sound, you get your market and manage, your manager, sorry, to manage it. And you might be surprised to see what we'll do with it. Now, what I really want to talk to you, Mr. John, if you give me some time, I listened to the program yesterday, and it's the poorest program I ever heard on the, on I talk about your
brand, People's Parliament.
And I tell why I say that, Mr. John. I had intelligent men on it. I mean, the question that these fellas are intelligent, but intelligent men are not thinking men. You have to be a thinker with intelligence, or you got to be a thinker without intelligence, and then you link to a man who has intelligence, and the two combined will work. Now, one of the people always talk about
ISO 9001.
You can't run no country, Mr. Johnson. No, that's what manufacturing and thing. You can't run no country with that. That is foolishness to believe you can run a country with that. A country, the reason why the countries are collapsing in the Caribbean is simple. Even though each one of us has a prime minister, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't like it, but there's nothing wrong with that at the moment. What is wrong that each prime minister in the Caribbean, all of them should come together and have one standard for the Caribbean? You listen to what Justin is
following you, yeah.
Mm-hmm. One standard for the Caribbean. So if I come to Barbados to do foolishness, and the prime minister of Barbados say no, when I go to Trinidad, there's still no Jamaica, there's still no St. Lucia. So therefore, I would know that I ain't going to get away with no foolishness, right?
Yeah.
But if I can use one government against the next in the Caribbean,
then you're going clear.
The prime minister looks stupid.
You're going clear.
All right, no. Listen, clear. I want to say this. I told the other, I was talking about a diesel car
and gasoline. And putting engine, gasoline right? in the engine, yeah.
I want to beg Barbadian people at every level. They don't care what kind of education they had, whether they can read and write or if they have the highest education in the world, to understand that nobody with intelligence would put diesel in a gasoline car and expect it to work, right?
Right. I remember you said no. So, yes, sir.
But nobody with intelligence would expect that the Democratic Labour Party or the Barbados Labour Party are bad parties. They are very good parties. The problem with the parties is that from time to time, we get people who manage them that do not know what they're doing. So the parties just look bad, and people then say, I like the BLP, and I like the DLP. Let me tell Mr. Johnson, I am going to put my life, if it's necessary, line to help Memorial to win the next election. But if Memorial, anybody believe that they can win the election, then do something wrong, and I can go along with it, they're making a big mistake, Mr. Johnson, because that's not NASA. You understand what I'm saying?
I clearly understand what you're saying, and the problem is, it will always be a problem for people like yourself, because one, there are people who will look at you and say, he's an opportunist, he's doing that so he could get through, and when he can't get through, he is give X. Or they can say, like they say about a gentleman that we both know, oh, he grasshopping from party to party to party to party, and that's our good friend David Comijong. So there are people who, so hold on a second, there are people, right? And as I said to someone earlier on when I was discussing the lady who is running for the city, Natalie, I make a determination about people based on what I feel when I talk to them. I don't let other people sway my opinion. And I know there are people who, because they have a certain vision of how things should be, they cling to it. And whether you agree with their vision or not, whether you agree with the path they take or not, you have to admire them for the fact that they've stuck to their principle. If they said, I do not believe that Barbados should be run as a one-man dictatorship, and they've said so and gone through 20 different parties, it's because they've stuck to the belief that they do not believe that Barbados should be bent to the whims and fancies of any one man. That's their principle. If you like them or you don't like them, that's your business. But that's their principle. And you have to tell the man, you could tell the man to your face, you ain't going to get nowhere in politics, but you can't tell him he's wrong, because that's what he believes.
Not only we believe, he's right. Right. Listen, the man, David Commissioner, one of the most brilliant minds this country produced. And the man, Mohamed Nasser, one of the most successful manufacturers this country ever produced, has made tremendous economic sacrifice, character slander, and all kind of for these black people, by the way. And the people don't seem to understand that.
But I just told you why. They say you're opportunist. You're trying to get what you get, and when you get it, you're gone, you're vexed.
Mr. Joseph, right, tell me, Johnny, this is Islam, I realized that I had a problem because black people who look like me had a problem. I also understand that white people had a problem because they also who look like they had a problem. They really believe that they were superior to black people. And God have to produce people every now and then to bring a balance. So I can say something to you about crime. God, yesterday, we didn't talk about all crime. Mr. Joseph, right there, had Adam and Eve. Crime has escalated, never yet. Crime get worse and worse and worse. Is that wrong?
No, it goes back to Genesis.
Right, hold on now. So don't care what they did so far, they can't stop the escalation of crime, right? No. Let me ask you a question, Mr. Mm-hmm. The truth is that the police now got better guns, better technology, better training, everything. More support from the masses of the country. Yes, the crime keep escalating. Mr. Johnson, the only reason why this happened is because there's injustice at the top.
Because there is.
If we can bring some economic balance to the country and to the world, we will not have the problems that we are having. Mr. Johnson, what is your opinion about that?
Sir, I believe that once a man can support himself, and I said so to the people in the studio off air, once a person has a sense of self-worth, they believe they're worth something, they see themselves as being important beings and they can contribute and they're paid for their contributions, they will not engage in activities that will cause them to bring themselves into disrepute. The problem is we have a lot of people who have a poor sense of self-worth and people keep telling them that they ain't no good. And the only way they could get out of this feeling of I am no use is by, illegal means. So I can't disagree with what you've said. And that's why sometimes we end up sounding like, we're patting each other on the back. But thanks for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I keep getting WhatsApp messages asking me about the book that I referred to that Mr. Nasser gave me to read. It's called The Dictators, From Hitler to Stalin, by a guy called Richard Overy. That's Richard Overy. Interesting piece of reading. There's a gentleman here who wanted me to ask Mr. Nasser his view on the way forward for Barbados regarding productivity and persons over 50. What his philosophy is. When I get the opportunity, I will ask him that, because it's an interesting question, sir, from a lot of perspectives, as someone who's over 50 myself. And I spoke about the young talent here at Starcom Network. And the guy sitting across from me likes to jab me from time to time and say, I'm trying to be like you. And I know he says that with a grin on his face, but I also tell him that I'm trying to be like him. So that explains the way I feel about people over 50. What you have to understand as you get older is you have to remember the exuberance of youth. The years when you felt you could tackle the world and win because nothing could defeat you. And then you have to look back and reflect on the times you stumped your toe, the times you've fallen down, and the experience you've learned from stumping your toe and falling down. And not try to superimpose it on the youngsters, but to tell them, you will stump your toe. You will fall. But don't let that faze you. Don't lose the exuberance that says, I will change the world. And unfortunately, in the business that I happen to be in at the moment, and I've seen it in other businesses as well, there are people who become disillusioned. There are people who become blinded by their success, or become blinded by their disappointments and neglect to praise the youngsters when they're good, to tell them when they have fallen short without losing their cool. I used to yell and scream at some of the young people in the newsroom when I got a badly written script. I want to thank Eric Nurse, who's no longer with us, for pulling me aside one day and saying to me, treat them as though they're your children, D. You know, the way you talk to your children, talk to them like that. And it changed my approach. I think I got along better with most of them. There's still some that I suppose would not want to get along with me. But it is a difficult business. And I think there are far too many young people who still see it as a career. So, you know, maybe the last of a dying breed. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. 434-1790, the Wednesday edition of Dr. Brass Tacks. You can reach us as well via WhatsApp at 266-IVOB. And I'm still trying to see when we'll get my email back because I've not had it for a while. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Sir.
You're hearing me?
Clearly.
My name is Adrian Donovan.
Mr. Donovan, how are you, sir?
I'm quite well.
You were asked to call and give an update by a gentleman who said you should say when things are improving.
That's right. But first of all, before I get to that point, I want to express on behalf of the Bridges Association of St. Lawrence, Maxwell, and Dover, our deepest sympathy to Laura Springer and her the family of Laura Springer, who met her death in an untimely manner on Monday. May she rest in peace.
Indeed. Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, I got a lot of calls. Someone had wanted me to give you an update. The situation is that there has been some improvement on the highways as far as the Regency Cove and Tappers is concerned. Mm-hmm. But the situation is that it appears from a layman's point of view that the authorities have diverted this sewage water from Lower Worthing to Upper Worthing. Right now, I'm in a car park sitting opposite Peter Pan, which is directly opposite Sun Plaza in Upper Worthing. And the situation here is in a horrific manner. It appears that the authorities have opened one of the mains, which is located by the pump, and is flowing now in the middle of the road. So there is definitely a blockage now of traffic in this area. 20 yards from this pump is something called Emperor's Court. This is a little shopping plaza that was opened by a man named Sabagai in 2011. They have about 7 businesses in that location. And at the edge, or I should say the front of that property, this main has been flowing for the past 3 weeks nonstop. Mm-hmm. 24/7 nonstop. So there were 7 business houses in that area now are under tremendous pressure.
So it's moved from one area to another?
Yes. That's why he said, when the person says that there's an improvement, there has been an improvement in Lower Worthing, where it's not bubbling in front of Regency Court, Tappers, in front of Massey, the post office.
And Lanterns Mall, which was perhaps one of the worst areas.
So those mains have been capped. Those have been sealed.
Right, so you don't have anything there. Right.
There's still some seepage, but a small amount.
I saw on Monday.
Yes.
By the post office. Amount. Yeah.
That's right. But it has now come around the corner. So when you pass next to Palm Garden, the gentleman in Palm Garden, owner of that now, has decided to take the matter in his own hands. He has purchased his own sewage pump. So it's on the property. Right. This is by Silver Fox Arcade. Right. And then you come up now to Chicken Barn. You saw in the press yesterday.
Yeah, they're opening back sometime next
month. Mm-hmm. So he has been given some relief. But his neighbor, Mr. Sabaga's Emperor's Court, is under tremendous pressure. And then in the back of that now, you have a little restaurant called Peter Pan.
Yeah, which I know is next so.
To, okay. Which is next to Lemongrass compound, which is just in front of Bamboo Lounge. It may be some strange names I'm calling.
No, but I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about, sir.
Good. So this stretch here, from this morning, Mr. Johnson, has been under tremendous pressure with this sewage water flowing nonstop. As I said, there's a battle for traffic, The ZRs are not taking it easy. They're driving and splashing. Some people are avoiding the water in the road and going into the next lane. So there's a little congestion. But to say there has been total improvement, and I have heard on another station that somebody has said that the problem has been solved. Jesus. This problem is far from being solved. And as they traverse the rest of the area, there are about six or seven other mains starting from Shopsmark, right away down again to, as far as Regency Cove and going down. Even this morning, there was some in the Dover area where you see seepage of these mains. So there has been some improvement in lower wording,
but it's moved.
The situation has been compounded in upper wording.
So you see, and this is why, sir, the whole question about whether we have updates or not, and whether, you know, people should come and say this or say that is something that I don't support. I would prefer if the, as I said to one of the previous callers, if the Barbados Water Authority or whoever is managing the repairs to the South Coast would give periodic updates from an official point of view, said we've capped X, we've done Y, we still have a problem trying to do this, which may cause some discomfort to people in this area, but this is what we're dealing with, this is how we're going to fix it. To me, it's a better way to manage the situation than you saying this is what's happening, then somebody calling and say, but when I pass, it'll dry, so, you know, that person didn't know what they're talking about, and then the other person calling and say, but you're not an engineer, so you don't know. The problem that we're dealing with here, sir, is an environmental issue. It's an issue of image, and it's also an issue of public confidence. And until we get to the stage where we understand that burying our heads in the sand or cussing people for saying things is not how we solve a problem, we can continue going back and forth on the South Coast, sir. And so unfortunately, I don't think we get there yet.
So this is, I agree with Mr. Johnson, but this is why, Mr. Johnson, for over two years and 3 months now, we have been asking the authorities, the relevant authorities, got a number of them involved in this issue, to have a town hall meeting with the residents and the business houses. And for some strange reason, there has never been none. All we're getting is press release after press release, a comment here and a comment there, and nobody has come and decided to have this face-to-face talk with us. Because as I'm talking to you now, there are still seven business houses that have been closed since December. And there, I've been told also by the workmen and staff of different guest houses and hotels in the area that some of the toilets in this area now have been compromised, and they have had to lay off some staff. So these are things that is a continuing issue. I'm very hopeful, Mr. Johnson, because I am a regular eater at Chicken Barn. I take my sporting groups and we dine at Chicken Barn at night. So, you know, it upsets me when people come and give a false story. But on the other hand, Mr. Johnson, it is not fair, and I don't see why anybody will curse me on a political platform for stating my views. I come as a member of an association and as a resident and a man who has a business interest in the area. I speak from that forefront. And it makes no sense to anybody abusing me or saying that I'm saying this and saying that, because it will not stop me. This is in my blood, Mr. Johnson. This is in my blood. And as you said in the previous conversation with you, there's no threat nor there's no gift on earth that will stop Adrian Donovan from talking. Right, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
I really came out today because I got some calls telling me that somebody had called and asked me to come on the program to give an update. So I will do my best from time to time, Mr. Johnson, to let you know on the general public what is going on the South Coast. We all want this situation to be rectified. I'm here now on site, there are a number of tourists walking up and down, because this is a heavy populated tourist area. But they have to be stepping around sewage water.
So I really, as I said, as someone who is a South Coast boy at heart and no man at heart, I bleed for the South Coast. That's the truth. I would like to see it fixed. I would like to see the South Coast return to the, I used to call it the alternative coast of Barbados, because I never really liked the West Coast and the image of the Platinum Coast and, you know, let people enjoy the West Coast if they enjoy. I'm a South Coast man at heart. I got pleasant memories of the South Coast, and there will always be pleasant memories from Dover Beach all the way down to Pebbles. That's my stomping grounds. I didn't like it when Mobile used to be giving off that scent they used to give off from time to time when they were there. I didn't like bathing down by Pebbles and seeing strange objects floating in the water when things were jettisoned out to sea. I think that stretch of beach from the jetty at Hilton to the Deepwater Harbor, that arc, when you look at it from what used to be the jetty by the Hilton or the one by what used to be Holiday Inn that it is now Radisson Aquatica, that sweep of coastline is just sheer beauty. I don't like to see umbrellas and chairs all over it neither, but that's just my personal feeling. If it brings income and if it makes people affluent and employment and putting bread on the table, I can't quarrel with them. I like to see pristine beaches and sands and tranquil turquoise waters and all the things we advertise in the magazines. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I have a WhatsApp message here that I can walk a fine line on. It says, Mr. Donovan, getting on like the tourists don't know about sewage, like the tourists no born. My response, and I'll try to keep it radio friendly, says, they know about sewage. They pass it out every day, hopefully. I don't think they want to play in it. Do you? Brass Tacks, good morning.
Is it my turn, Mr. Johnson?
It is yours, sir.
Yeah. Good morning, yeah.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah. It's just about the way. I usually watch that because it's easier.
I understand that. So that's why I advertise the number, so that people who, for whatever reason, either can't get through or can send a message.
Yeah.
True. Once it's radio worthy, I usually...
But I want to make a point. I want to make a point. I don't know if it's relevant to Barbados right now, but I was listening to the BBC, and I heard a program where they said that China is now migrating to the African countries. They're going into Kenya, and they build this grand highway, and now they're moving in their businesses. That part may not be so bad. But what really worried me is when I hear now they're going to set up this donkey farm and slaughtering thousands of donkeys for something that a donkey has that they want to use for medicine. I suppose they use the meat as well. And it brings a high price, and they're sending it back to China. The thing is now that the farmers in Kenya that depend on donkeys for transportation, but the donkeys bring such a high price now, I guess some of the donkeys getting stolen and sold to the Chinese.